Oh, Father, I thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. I know your Holy Spirit's here, Father God, ministering to your people. And I'm just asking you right now, Father, just to raise your banner higher tonight than you ever have before over your people. Call them up higher, Father. Bring them into that heavenly realm where you reside. And Father, I thank you that your angelic host is going to and fro throughout these seats tonight, ministering to your people. Finish the work you completed, Father. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read really two prophetic words that somebody else wrote. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I think we really need to hear these. A lot of us are at a crossroads where we're making, God's taking us in new directions. We're making new decisions, and we have to make sure we're making the right decisions. So this is written by Robert Henderson. He said, most people in America would be familiar with the long-running television game show called Jeopardy with host Alex Trebek. The show's concept is that an answer is stated, and the contestants then respond with a question. For instance, the answer might be, this man was the first president of the United States. The correct response allows the contestants to increase in money and earnings. Each incorrect response causes players to lose the money. The person with the most money wins the game. I think I skipped a line, but that's all right. The game is broken up into three rounds, Jeopardy, Double Jeopardy, and Final Jeopardy. Each round increases in money value so that as the game progresses, hopefully more and more money is accumulated. The final Jeopardy round is where the players can risk up to all of their money to try and win the game. I believe one of the keys to winning in this time is to ask the right questions, you know, to God. A prophetic dream. He had this dream. It is time to stretch and risk. In a very prophetic dream I had, I was watching as three players were in the final Jeopardy round of the game. I watched as each player made their wager and gave their answers. Each player got the answer correct. However, the last player who gave their response risked the most money and therefore won the game. As I awoke, I was aware that the Lord was speaking, and he said to me, in the church and the world, we have entered a season of final jeopardy. And we do know this is the final stage of our walk with God. I am not speaking of some end-time theology, but rather a season and period in the Spirit where clear decisions must be made. See, where clear decisions must be made. In Final Jeopardy, it is a stage of the game where not only is it important to get the right answers, but the risk taken must be sufficient to win. Whoever takes the biggest risk wins. The Lord is challenging us and stretching us to move in faith in these seasons. Even in the face of danger, are we willing to believe him and his word? Even in the face of danger, are we willing to believe him and his word? All right, he says, crisis or opportunity. I was aware that the word crisis from the Latin can mean dangerous opportunity. In these times of dangerous opportunities, we must not shrink back. Hebrews 10:37-38 tells us that God has no pleasure in those who draw back. For yet a little while, this is Hebrews 10:37-38, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We cannot allow the danger of the moment to cause us to miss the opportunity before us. I know that God is going to take us into different directions, and I know that we are going to face things we've never faced before, and we can't be afraid of what we face. We have to know that if God brought us there, God is going to take care of us there. The Lord is presenting opportunities to many. However, there is a risk attached to these opportunities. It could even be said it is dangerous. If we allow the danger to override the opportunity before us, we can miss the very purpose we were created for. And this is what's a little scary, really. If we allow the danger to override the opportunity before us, we can miss the very purpose we were created for. None of us in here tonight want to miss that opportunity. This is what happened to the children of Israel as they came to the border of Canaan to cross over in Numbers 14:26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complained against me?" Isn't that what the church is doing? "I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above.'" Now let's stop there. He said, "The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness." And I know that this is a time in the body of Christ, that if you haven't quit complaining, you're not going to make it. God's sick and tired of the body of Christ complaining against him and what he's asking them to do. Now, verse 30 says, "Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore would make you dwell in." He said, "You're just not going to go. You complained and complained and complained and complained and didn't quit complaining. So your complaining got you in the hole that you're in." Only two people are going to cross over, Caleb and Joshua. "But as for you," verse 31, "but your little ones whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised." In other words, God wasn't going to kill the little ones. "But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness." They had to wander 40 years, dying along the way, because they wouldn't quit complaining about what God was asking them to do. You want me to give up what? You know? You're giving up your salvation is what you're doing when you ask God that question. Quit your complaining. And verse 34 says, "According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection." None of you sitting in here tonight want to feel God's rejection. You really, truly do not. "I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die." Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men brought the evil report about the land, died by the plague before the Lord. I would not want to be somebody that was a stumbling block to any of God's children. Because this is what it's talking about here. Verse 38, "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. After the spies returned," now let's finish with the scriptures. "After the spies returned, because of the giants, walled cities, and iron chariots, the people refused to go in and possess the land. Even though it was a land flowing with milk and honey, they allowed the danger to cause them to miss the opportunity. The result was a wandering in the wilderness for another generation. The decisions made in this time will determine their future for a long time." That's talking to us. The decisions that we make in this time will determine the future for a long time. All right? I believe we are in a similar time. We are being presented opportunities of a lifetime that will have generational impact. Should we allow the danger to persuade us that the risk is too big? God may have to wait for another generation to arise and step up to the assignment. We are in the final Jeopardy round. "I was aware in the dream I mentioned previously that the decisions made in this time will determine the future for a long time. The decisions of the 10 spies and their influence upon the nation caused the nation to wander for 40 years. We are in a dangerous moment of opportunity. We must make decisions born out of faith and not doubt. We must have another spirit like Caleb and Joshua had in this moment. Otherwise, we can miss this time. In Numbers 14:24 says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." In my dream, everyone had the right answers. I believe as a church we have the right answers. I believe the issue is one of faith that will allow us to believe God and take the necessary risk. The issue was, would there be a big enough risk taken to win? In these times of dangerous opportunities, we must not shrink back. You have to hear God's voice so clearly right now in your for your life. You can't rely on a prophet to come to you and tell you what to do. You have to be so in tune to God's voice that you hear him accurately, or you're not going to make it. God's been trying to tell us, get in tune to my voice, hear my still small voice. Even he's had me do these worship songs because he wants you to quiet down, and he wants you to just to feel his presence, and he wants you to be able to listen for his voice. There's enough shouting, screaming, dancing, and going on in the streets. Now, I played the joy song because I wanted you to understand, do you have joy? You know, because I don't believe we remember that. I believe that we forgot that we were supposed to have joy. That's why I played that. I know it seemed out of place, but that's why I played that. I wanted to put to your remembrance that when you receive Christ, you receive joy. Amen. Three strategies to play to win in the final Jeopardy round. Number one, we must realize the season we are in. We're in a transition season. I was aware in this dream that perhaps we had been faced with similar decisions in times past. However, because it was final Jeopardy this time, and the outcome would be different. You hearing? You can't keep going back into sin. If you do it this time, you're done. You're just done. This is the final hour. This is the final call. And we have to be going forward and quit going backward. We have to quit complaining. All right? It is very similar to Peter fishing all night and catching nothing in Luke 5. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Jesus said this. But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." You know, God might ask you to do something right now that you said, "But God, I've been doing that and there's no results." He knows when the results are going to be. Keep doing what God's called you to do. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Just like Sister Lane was saying about this person. See, we have to stop our little doubting and dabbling in satanic stuff and darkness, and just trust God and walk in total and complete faith. This is a faith walk, fellas. And it's a faith walk. Verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now remember, before Jesus told them what to do, they were catching nothing. And now their boats were getting ready to sink. There was so much fish. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be astonished if you'll just follow God, listen for his voice, follow him, do what he says, and quit letting other people tell you what to do or lead God and direct you, and let God lead God and direct you. You'll be totally shocked at what God's going to do for you. Totally and completely shocked. Verse 10 says, And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon and Jesus, said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. See, instead of fish, now they're going to catch men. We're supposed to be catching men, right? So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus. This is one of the big problems of the body of Christ. We don't forsake all. I get so rattled. I really do when I hear about people get delivered the same thing over and over and over and over again. It's because you will not let go of your past. And those spirits are still there. And, you know, you had a lot of enjoyment with them, and you still want that enjoyment. Don't blame it anybody but yourself. You can deliver yourself. You can sit at home and you can do it. Once you go through deliverance, then your work begins. Don't let the devil keep coming back in and torment you, make you go back into the most sins, because he's taking you right into hell is what he is doing. You just need to start fighting. I want to say from days of John the Baptist. Can't remember that scripture right now. Oh yeah, we was going to be in a battle. I know that scripture part. I can't think of it. However, when Jesus tells him to launch out into the deep and let down his net, a great catch was secured. The difference was the season of the Spirit he was in. The word of the Lord changed the season. Are you listening? It doesn't matter what's been going on in your life before God speaks to you again. Obey God. It's a different season. The word of the Lord changed the season. This is what Song of Solomon 2:10 declares. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 10. My beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. God's saying, come on, your winter months are over. It's time now to go into a new season. The voice of the bridegroom changed the season. Winter was past and the rain was gone. Once the bridegroom spoke, everything shifted. When Jesus spoke, the previous season of the night before the time of barrenness and unfruitfulness ended. And God's been telling us he wants to bless us. He wants to bless our finances, our health. He wants to bless everything. Because the other dead stuff is gone. We're in a brand new season. But how many people are receiving that? How many people are really grabbing a hold of that and clinging to it, clinging it into their bosom? The old has passed away. We're in a brand new season. And God told us in this going into this brand new season, the enemy wasn't going to let us waltz in there. He was going to fight us. So we're in a battle. We're always going to be in a battle. All right? Somebody look that scripture up for me. From the days of John the Baptist till now, kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Thank you. See, this is what he was saying. From the days of John the Baptist, Satan was going to attack the church. And we were always going to have to fight. When you was out there in the street doing your thing, you fought everything come around. Right? Loud mouth, vulgar. But yet, if you have to fight the devil when you're serving God, you throw a fit. God, why are you making me fight? Why don't you fight my battle? He does. But you have to first step out there in faith. And once you step out there in faith, start fighting, and he takes over. I know that for a fact. Where am I at? The new season. The new season of extravagant fruit through this new catch began. We are in final jeopardy. What didn't work before will work now. All right? What didn't work before will work now. This only occurs if we can see past the danger and see into the moment God is granting us. See that? Come on. This only occurs if we can see past the danger and see into the moment God is granting us. Number two, ask the right questions. In the game of Jeopardy, the correct answer must be phrased in the form of a question. I believe one of the keys to winning in this time is to ask the right questions. So often we are asking the wrong things. Pastors ask how they can see their churches grow. The right question is, how can we expand the kingdom influence into our culture? Business people ask, how can we make more money? The right question is, how can we serve our community and meet a necessary need? We must ask the right questions as it relates to the purposes of God. Our questions reveal the motive of our hearts, which is very important to God. Ask the right question and receive the right answer. Phrase it properly. Number three, exercise faith, take risk, and believe God. Finally, we must be willing to exercise a realm of faith to take a risk and believe God. Real faith always causes us to lay our lives down and trust the Lord. Real faith. Real faith is willing to declare that even if it doesn't work, it is a joy to believe and place my entire hope in Him. This is not to say we do unwise or silly things. We, however, are willing to believe the Word of God and know He cannot fail. See, this is, all right, this man said, real faith is willing to declare that even if it doesn't work, it is a joy to believe and place my entire hope in Him. Now, I believe with all my being that if I ask the right questions, that God is going to tell me exactly what to do, and it is going to work. If it's God speaking to you and He's telling you what to do, it will work. We don't have to say, if it doesn't work. Because if God has called us to do something, He will be with us and He will accomplish the thing He's called us forth to do. And He will equip us to do it. This is not to say we do unwise or silly things. We, however, willing to believe the Word of God and know He cannot fail. We are willing to step out onto the water because we have heard Him say, come. In Matthew 14:28, He said, and Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water. Verse 29, so He said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. If God has told you to do something, you can fast and pray until you're blue in the face, trying to get Him to change His mind, and He's not going to change His mind. He said what He wanted you to do, and He's going to be quiet. I know that for a fact too. So just go ahead and do what God's called you to do and quit trying to make Him change His mind. All right? We are in final jeopardy. May the Lord help us in our weaknesses to hear Him clearly and move in faith to take the necessary risk. This is important. May the Lord help us in our weaknesses to hear Him clearly and move in faith to take the necessary risks. If God's called you to do it, then stick to your guns and do what God's called you to do. But make sure you're just not being dogmatic. Make sure this is what God has called you to do, and then do it. All right? Our future, the church's future, and the future of nations can hang in the balance. Is there a people who will believe God and see past the danger to the potential of this time? Lord, help me. I want to be one. Now, that's the end of his statement in his dream about his final jeopardy. Some of you in the body of Christ are going to have to do things that you'll think is totally out of your mind things. But if God has asked you to do them, then you have to do them. You have to take that risk to do them. You have to have faith in God, knowing that God is well able to bring you through. And I'm believing that every one of you in your night know the voice of the Father. And when He speaks, you hear Him very clearly. And that you don't have any doubts or reservations whatsoever that it was God speaking to you. Now I'm hearing God say, but you have to have love as your foundation. If you are lacking in love, then you're going to miss God's voice. That's why I played the song, First Love. I was hoping that would stir something up inside of you to let you know who your first love is and what Him being your first love was all about. I know because God has said to us, you return back to your first love. If you don't have all the fruits of the Spirit, then you've left your first love. You have to go back to your first love. Quit trying to get God to change the circumstances around you, and you change the circumstances in you by going back to your first love and allowing God to work on the inside of you and getting you correct, and then the things around about you will change. All right? Now, I ran across another by Chuck Pierce here. All right, he said, the start of Pentecost, key dream, you're breaking out of captivity and into enlargement. And this is why, because this came right after I did this. All right, key dream, you are breaking out of captivity and into enlargement. As I mentioned yesterday morning at church, my daughter Rebecca had a dream that I believe is for all of us. The enemy may be hassling you and making you think you can't move forward during this time of increase and enlargement. I know there's a lot of people in the body of Christ who are having this problem right now. The enemy is hassling you, making you believe you can't move forward. Although the enemy is saying he will break through the barrier between you and him and hold you in captivity, know that the Lord says you are coming out of captivity completely. You're not going to be in captivity at all. I was praying about the deliverance ministry here, and it just kept stirring in my spirit that I'm not to worry about that because God, I won't need one because God is going to be the deliverer. That he's just going to supernaturally just yank all that junk out of people. And so this is what I'm counting on. I'm counting on God because he stirred that in me. I didn't because I was going a different direction. So I'm going to go in a direction he's going in. And I'm going to believe there's going to be such a supernatural outflow of his glory that the devil won't be able to stand it. And he's going to have to go. Take time to read Rebecca's dream and hear God's word to all of us. This is her dream. I was at a zoo and there was an open-air exhibit featuring a white tiger. People waited for hours to get through the gate to look at this white tiger from the platform. I got through, and the moment I did, the white tiger locked eyes with me and I knew he wanted to kill me. The devil wants to kill everyone in here tonight. Then I was back in time, still in the line to get in. I made it inside again. He locked on me again, and this time he ran up and hit the platform, knocking me over the edge and into his enclosure. And suddenly I knew that he wanted to murder me, and I knew how to climb to escape. I began to place my memory. He first wants to kill him. Now he's really mad. He wants to murder her, all right? I began to place my feet in the fence grooves, and as the people on the platform panicked and scrambled away, I fought to get free. His fangs latched onto my arm. Now listen to this, because this applies to all of us. He yanked, but I held on because I knew that I was supposed to escape. Now the enemy has his fangs on you. Hang on to God because you are supposed to escape the fangs of the enemy. Then I managed to climb out, and when I did, the zookeepers took me aside and tried to make me accept their version of what had happened, but it didn't matter how they spun it. News outlets picked up the story, and it was all over the news and how I had escaped. That was the end of her dream. Yeah, she said, I have always been a dreamer, and I often experience dreams through visuals and dialogue, but also with strong impressions about the thoughts or emotions of characters in the dream. During this dream, in the midst of my terror, I could feel not only the tiger's hatred of me. Now, how many of you can feel the devil's hatred of you? Can't you? But I could sense his anger that I existed at all. How many of you know he's angry at you? He just knew by now you would be long gone, right? His anger that he was in this pen and I was standing above him. He specifically wanted my life because, see, she was towering over the devil. There was something about me he couldn't stand. How many of you know the devil can't? There's something about you the devil can't stand. His attack was calculated and executed perfectly. You see that? The devil is not dumb. He plans everything perfectly. When I woke up, I was shaken by my terror, but even more by the feeling of being stalked by an enemy, of being selected by this enemy to be destroyed. Everyone in here, I want you to get this in your spirit. The devil has targeted you. God told me one time the devil has targeted you and he's put a bullseye on you and he wants to kill you. Now you're going to have to stand firm in your walk with me and you're going to have to hear my voice all the time. So if he's targeting me, he's targeted everybody in here. Now he might not have targeted you at all because you don't belong to God. You go ahead and still serve the devil. Then you're not targeted. But if you're walking with God 100%, then you're targeted. Julie, I'm just going to say this. God wants you to know you're targeted by the enemy. He's going to come at you with everything he has. And you're going to have to stand firm in your salvation. And you're going to have to know that you know that you know that God has called you to do a specific work for him. All right? tiger. The tiger had to get me into the pen with him in order to devour me. See that? The devil gets you over in his turf. The line I stood in to observe the tiger put me in a place of vulnerability, and when I made it through the doors, the tiger devised a plan to get me in the pen and kill me. But God took me back in the line. And even though I end up on the platform again, and this time the tiger was able to get me into the pen with him, God showed me the strategy to escape. He used my escape to make me famous. And God is saying, I am getting ready to place my people at the top of the news cycle. And with that comes enemies who will plot and plan attacks, but my people will have strategies to thwart them. See, you hear this? Let's read this again. I'm getting ready to place my people at the top of the news cycle. And with that comes enemies who will plot and plan attacks, but my people will have strategies to thwart them. You have been waiting on an opportunity, and you have been expecting something different from this opportunity. But on the other side, there is an adversary who hates you. The enemy has used something beautiful for his own advancement. When you come into his midst, what you are will set you apart, and he loathes you because you stand above him, and he cannot ever be what you are, so he devises a plan to kill you. Are you understanding this? You are above the devil, and that's why he keeps coming at you with his same old tactics that he used before you were saved. And he just knows that you're going to give in to those tactics one day, and that's why he keeps bombarding you constantly. But you're going to have to prove to him, no, you're not. You're not. I'm not going back there with you. God went on to say, now I am taking you back through the door you went through once before. And in the last season, the devourer caught sight of you and planned his attack. See that? But I removed you from his grip so you would have the understanding necessary to escape him. This time, I'm letting you face him off. You don't know why you're allowed to fall, and you do not have time to be afraid. You must climb. And those around you panic and scatter. Hold on. As the enemy sinks his teeth in, hold on, because when you climb out of that pen, nothing will be able to stop the story I will use you to tell. Let's read that last paragraph again. You don't know why you were allowed, God allowed you to fall. See that? And you do not have time to be afraid. You must climb. And as those around you panic and scatter, hold on. In other words, others were allowed to fall too, but instead of them holding on to God, they panicked and scattered and allowed the enemy to have his way. So as the enemy sinks his teeth in, hold on. I don't know what the enemy is going to do in your life. Each one of our lives are different, but there's an area in your life where he can get to you if you allow him to. So if you've allowed him to sink his teeth in, God is saying, hold on. Because when you climb out of that pen, nothing will be able to stop the story I will use you to tell. In other words, when you come to your faculties and you defeat that enemy, then his hold on you is totally and completely broken. And then your testimony will win many to Christ. I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of the enemy constantly bombarding the children of God. I am just sick and tired of the enemy always having the upper hand in everything. It is time that the body of Christ take control of their lives through God, walk in total and complete faith, and do the things that God is calling you forth to do. And I'm hearing God say, the enemy might have you hemmed in on all sides, but you're still the head and not the tail. It doesn't matter what your circumstances look like. Do we believe God is in control or don't we? Either he is in control or he isn't. There's no in-between ground, because remember what God said, we're in a tug of war. Jesus is vying for our soul. Satan's vying for our soul. And he told me it's up to me who wins that tug of war. I declared that day that Jesus was going to always win the tug of war. And it doesn't matter what I have to go through. I have to keep declaring that Jesus is winning the tug of war. Many times I've, you know, God's let me fall into situations. God, why would you let me go here? Why would you place me here? Yeah, this isn't even me. This isn't even my personality. But he had to do that to prove to the devil that I was not going to fall, that I was going to fight and keep on fighting until I won that battle. So some of you, you're wondering why you're in a battle you're in. It's because it's just in Job. You remember Job, how Job went before the Father, and then God said, you know, he brings us before the Father, and the Father says, oh, go ahead and take Grace. Just can't kill her. Do anything you want to her. Just take her. And then he does. He does. And he will do everything in his power to make you fall. He'll do everything in his power to make you go back to your old ways, your old thought patterns. Some of you allow him to do that. You must stop. Because like this young man said here, we are in final jeopardy. This is the final thing before the coming, second coming of Jesus Christ. And God is trying to get his church strong so we can minister to the weak ones out there. The church has really failed God in that area. We don't even know the truth ourselves, so how are we going to give anybody else the truth? It's only as you sit at the feet of Jesus you're going to learn the truth of God's word. It's only as you sit at the feet of Jesus, you know, all hell can be breaking loose around about you. But God will keep you in perfect peace. I was glad to leave my home today. I mean, you really wasn't a whole lot of bad things, but have you ever had a day where everything's hectic? Just everything's hectic. And you think, I just need some peace. I just need to get away from the work area and just need some peace. And when my grandson said, bye, my mom. And I knew it, but the way he said it, he was saying, I know you're anxious to get out of here. It just, I needed some peace. Haven't you needed that? And so I knew when I got in that car and I could pray the whole way here and I got here, I would be in perfect peace. And nobody was really doing anything. It was just a hectic day for me. Wednesdays are always hectic for me. Oh, church days. Aren't they always hectic? If one thing go wrong, 10 others will go wrong with it, right? But if you can't give in to that, can you? You have to keep plugging on. You have to keep trusting God. You have to keep your faith working. And I know many of you in here, you have problems every day. But you still come in here smiling. You still come in here every service, you know. And you're still saying, devil, I don't care what you're trying to do to me. I'm going to go and serve my Father. And that makes the devil even madder. And so when you walk out the door, he's going to attack you even worse than he did before you came in the door. That's just the way his tactics are. And so I had to learn right up front that when I got born again, I was not born again into a rose garden. I was born into the body of Christ. And I found out that I had to fight. That it was not, you know, it just was not easy street. It just wasn't. That you know, the devil was, whenever once I became born again, the devil got me. I mean, he targeted me, and he's been targeting me ever since. Come on, guys. You can do this thing. You can do this thing. Just like that one song, you know, he was trying to get you to understand that, you know, that God is in control. He wanted you to remember all the different things you have in Christ. You need to start reminding yourself who you are in Christ Jesus. And when the devil comes to his text, he's saying, no, I'm a child of the Most High God. I don't listen to you at all. I'm not going to be concerned about what you're doing to me. So then he attacks one of your kids, or he attacks your finance, or attacks your car. I don't care, devil. I'm still the child of the Most High God, and my God is able. My God will supply my needs. You know, you have to stand your ground. This is why young kids are falling, because they don't stand their ground. They let other people influence them. I don't care if you're young, old, or in between. I don't care what you are. You cannot allow somebody else to influence you in any area of your life. You are you. Are you not? You control you. Do you not? Why then do you allow the enemy to tell you what to do? I tell my kids all the time, you know, don't tell me somebody else is making you do anything. You are an individual. You have your own personality. You don't have to do what other people tell you to do. You just really don't. I don't care if it's a devil or a person. You don't have to do what they tell you to do. You don't have to fit in with the crowd in school, young kids. I never fit into the crowd. In fact, they used to call me a lesbian. I didn't know what that was then. And because I didn't have to go smoke. I didn't have to go drink. I didn't even date. I didn't have to do those things to be happy. I was just happy. And I watched my friends who smoked and drank and went out and in the cars. You know, they used to do that then. And they were the most miserable people in the world. They were having babies out of wedlock. And I was happy. They might have thought I was dumb, but I was dumb and happy. Weren't you dumb and happy? Come on. Come on. So as Christians, aren't we dumb and happy? You know, we just know we're children of God. And we don't care what the world is saying about us. We don't care how, if they don't like the way we think. They think we think weird, don't they? Don't they think you think weird? Don't worry about it. Either you're a child of God or you're not. And just smile and say, God loves you. You know, if you can't say it out loud, think it to yourself, God loves you. Just walk on and be happy and be content. What's the word of God say? Be content in the state that you're in. You know, your roof might be falling in on you, but be happy and be content in the state that you're in, all right? All your kids might be, you know, out there on the streets lost, but be content in the state that you're in, because God has promised us that this year their prodigals are coming home. And I believe that with all my heart, because how many of you watching your kids be miserable right now? It's because the Holy Spirit's working on really over time, and they don't like it. Because they don't want to come back, but they're going to come back. All you have to do is just smile and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I don't care if they yell and scream what they do. Thank you, Jesus. Are you understanding this tonight? We are in the final stages of the setup for Jesus Christ to come back the second time. And you guys are in a really wonderful place, because we all are, because we're going to see this happen. We're going to be here, and we're going to be caught up in that cloud. And we're going to be witnesses to all the lost and the dying. Amen. My oldest daughter, God told her years ago, through me and before through me, through somebody else, no, just told her herself. I called her, and I was crying. I said, honey, God said to me that you're going to stay back here. You're going to miss the rapture. And she started crying. She said, he told me the same thing, Mom. And she loves the Lord with all of her heart. She doesn't live, you know, a really clean life, but she loves the Lord with all of her heart. And I said, God, how does this work? He says, she does love me, but she's bound. And he says, and when the rapture occurs and she stays behind, I'm going to unbind her. He's going to set her free, and she's going to lead others to Christ. He said, I need strong, and she's strong. She is strong. She takes after her mother. He said, I need strong ones to leave behind so they can lead the lost to me. And so she knows that she's going to be here. You know, we're going to go and leave her here all by herself. But she's not upset about that. She really isn't. And she can pray like you wouldn't believe, and loves the Lord. She's as compassionate as she can possibly be. And I don't like the idea she has to stay, but if that's what God wants, that's what God wants. So, you know, we don't always have to like what God's doing. But if that's what God's doing, that's what he's doing. And we can't change God's mind. We really can't. There's some things, you know, that you can change God's mind on, because I've done it. But other things, said, daughter, now, this is written in stone, and this is how it's going to be. And I don't care how much you beg and plead and cry, it's not going to change. So he said, don't come to me about it again. How many of you done that? Just keep going back to God. I just know you're going to change his mind. But he said, nah, this is written in stone, and I'm not going to change my mind. Now, tonight, the enemy might have his claws in you, but he doesn't have you. All you need to do is hold on to God's hand, and the enemy has to let go. You need to understand, Elaine, that God is going to fulfill his prophecy over you, and you're going to see even bloody battles on the streets. But during those bloody battles, the glory of God is going to rise up out of you, and it's going to heal those people who are supposed to be dead. And you're going to see great warfare on the streets, but it'll never touch you. But it's going to bring many, because of you being there, it's going to bring many souls to the kingdom of God. So he's saying, daughter, get ready, for the battle has begun. And it's going to be outrageous at times. But you're a strong tower, and I wonderfully made you, and I know what you can carry. And I know you can do this thing for me. So daughter, just keep smiling and just keep going. I'm going to be with you all the way. Amen. See, yeah, and God's saying that you're out there in the trenches. You know, you're not in the safety zone. You're out there in the trenches where the battle really is. and his angels are with you, guarding you and keeping you safe. Because you decided to, I'll go to the trenches, Father, and I'll witness to the street people, and I'll go knowing that you're with me, and I'm not going to be afraid of what I may meet out there. I think that's awesome. You're awesome. A lot of people don't want to go to the trenches. They don't want to go to the streets because they're afraid. But you're not afraid because you know who your Father is. I think that's awesome. I just think that's awesome. We all need to be like that. We all need to be, you know, strong enough to go out in the streets and minister to the down, you know, the homeless. You know, that's what she does, ministers to homeless, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, whatever, the prostitutes, whatever's there. Somebody has to minister to these people. And, you know, if you were once one of them, then you're supposed to be out there ministering too. I keep telling that to people I know that were once, you know, out there on the street, and they're not now. I said, you're supposed to be going back and ministering to those people and let them know who God really is. So how about you? Do you minister to people and let them know who God really is? You know, you might run across somebody that's going through the same thing you came out of. Do you minister to them and tell them, I was once there, but look what God has done for me? This is what we're supposed to be doing, saints. And God said, I'm going to allow you to go into some really strong warfare, but I'm going to be there with you. Astrid, that God's talking to you, that you're going to go into some strong warfare, and the enemy's going to try to really take you out, but God said he's going to be with you. And remember this story you heard today. The enemy might have a hold of you, but he can't keep you. Just hold on, because God will bring you through every warfare you go through. Right, he said, you've been in the trenches in the natural, but now you're going to be in the trenches in the spiritual realm, and you're going to fight for the Father, and you're going to see many, many souls brought into the kingdom because of what you have to go through to save those souls. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road, doesn't it? You know, oh, God, use me, but don't let me get into any scrapples with anybody. Let me sit in my little ivory towered house and don't make me pray, or don't let me go out in the street, but use me, Father. Use you for what? You know, whenever you say use me, because God told me this, I said, God, what's going on in my life? He said, you said use me, and I heard you, and this goes along with use me. And it was battle, one battle after another. I mean, with this in the spiritual realm. So what are you looking for? Are you looking for God just to cover you and let you not fight at all? Tonight, God wants to place resurrection power in each one of you. He wants to resurrect you from that dead place you've been in and bring you into a place of life and freedom. And the altar's open for that. If you want the resurrection life to be placed in you. And God also saying there's a redeeming power that he's going to place in you. And you're going to be able to go forth with redeeming power and see many souls being saved. Come on, just receive. It's a spirit of God falling on you, not a person. It's a spirit of God, and he wants to indwell you richly tonight.